Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports on a late Wednesday night, presented by CMG Podcast and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, along my side, my brother, Sandra Sanchez. How you doing, bro?
Doing good, baby. Welcome to be back.
Yeah, me too, man. Very excited to talk about, you know, what's going to happen today, you know, tomorrow around this time. We're going to get our first NFL action, Sandra. We also have Derek Jeter get into the Hall of Fame today. And we also have a lot of fantasy that we want to talk about later. But like I said, we got some football tomorrow. And that's exactly where I want to start off, because your beloved Dallas Cowboys, Sander, has to host the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Tampa Bay tomorrow. And, you know, it's a big prime time game, if I don't mind saying so myself. You know, obviously you got Tom Brady, and then you got America's team over there in Dallas. And if anybody knows about Dallas, you guys won the offseason. You guys got the Hard Knocks. So everybody got their eyes on Dallas. And obviously the man coming back for you guys, Dak Prescott, number four. You know, he was very much missed throughout that season last year. But Sander, tall task against those Buccaneers, man. What you guys think you can pull it off? Or are the Bucs going to put it on you guys and remind the whole league, we're the champs?
You know, JJ, when you gave me this question, it's like I had to, you know, that meme of the kid like holding the fart in where his veins popping out. He's like, I was basically like that, because I was going to explode. Like, yo, Cowboys got this. We going to start the season off right. We going to put the league on notice. It's our year. We them boys. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute. I claim to be the most realistic, most humble Cowboys fan on the planet. And coming out like that is completely on the contrary of everything that I believe. So yeah. I'm going to be real with you, Jay. And I'm going to be real with every Cowboys fan out there. Because trust me, I'm as big as a Cowboys fan as the biggest fan out there. But I'm going to be real. And JJ, I'm not even probably going to watch this game. I might watch the first half. If it's
you're going to watch some of it.
If it's too ugly, I might not even finish this game. I might pack it in early and just wait till Sunday for real football to start. Because the Buccaneers right now, Jay, they're going to start off hot. They're going to go on this. They're going to really put the league on notice, because Tampa Bay now is in year two with Brady. This is bringing back all 22 starters, 11 on offense and 11 on defense. It's the Brady effect. So, Jay, it's going to be a slaughter show. I hope not. I hope it's very competitive. You know, you did something earlier where you simulated a Madden game between the two and it was very low scoring. And you're right, Jay. You are 100% right when you said, I believe the game will be a little more high scoring than that. And you're right, yeah, but unfortunately, it's going to be on the Buccaneers' side. They're probably going to smack us, because not only do they have the offense to match Dallas's offense, but they have a far and beyond better defense than Dallas. Yeah. So I feel like they'll be able to stop Dallas more than Dallas will be able to stop them. They'll be able to put up more points on Dallas than Dallas will be able to put on them. Although I will say this, I don't think it's going to be a complete shit show for Dallas. It's Dak's first game back. I think he's still trying to get the feel for things after that gruesome injury to his ankle last season. We don't need to watch the video, no. So don't even bother putting it. But
I was about to cue it, but I was like, nah.
I feel like, Jay, right now, it's kind of like, as crazy as I'm going to sound here, it's kind of like when a professional boxer is getting the feel for the game, for the fight at first, maybe the first few rounds. He's filling out the boxer. I feel like Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are going to kind of fall into that for maybe the first week or so, get a feel. Because, Jay, if you're thinking I'm going to come out here and say we're going to beat the Buccaneers in a close game or in a blowout, listen, what I smoke is green and it don't come in a pipe, okay? So I'm telling you, I believe the Bucs and Brady are on a mission. They're on a mission for NFC Championship game, and they're going to be waiting. They're going to be waiting for one of the four, either Green Bay, Seattle, or maybe the Rams, or one of those heavy hitters. But Buccaneers has punched their ticket, and it's only week one, okay? They punched their ticket. They'll be waiting at the NFC Championship game. There is no doubt about it for me. So I think that Tom Brady and those Bucs are going to put a hurting on my Cowboys. Why do we have to play in
week one? How big of a hurting? How big of a hurting are you talking about?
It's banner night, Jay. That's an extra 14 points right there. It's 14? Banner night. Bro, let me tell you something, Jay. I feel like this is what's going the Dallas Cowboys will lose by 17 points. It's going to be that. It's going to be 17 points. The Buccaneers are going to be at home, coming off a Super Bowl, coming off the banner, year two of Brady. Come on, man. What do you want me to say, Jay? We couldn't stop a nosebleed last season. We're going to try and get better this season, but I don't expect it to be astronomical. Like I've said, I've been beating on my chest. Maybe top 10, top 15 defense, but ain't no top five, ain't no top three. So I'm just hoping for the best, Jay. I'm hoping that it's at least competitive because I really don't want to start my football year off that bad.
Do you got a final score?
Okay, I'll give you my final score. You ready? My final score is going to be 21-41. And it's even more than 17 than what I actually said. Because the Buccaneers are that legit, Jay. Tom Brady, you already know the mentality. We've been seeing it for 20 years. You already know they're going to get the job done. It's at Tampa. Beautiful weather. No inclement weather. No wind. No rain. None of that nonsense. It's going to be perfect football. And, hey, Jay, I say 41-21, but it could be a good game. Like, Dallas could very well make this very competitive. But how I know Tom Brady, how I've been watching this man since I was a young man, I feel like come the fourth quarter, if it's not already a blowout come fourth quarter, the Bucs are going to close out the Cowboys. They're just going to put it on them. And that's just how I see the game goes. It's going to be maybe a semi-competitive for a little bit, but Dallas's defense is just not going to be able to put up with a guy playing 3D chess because he's not playing checkers out there. Tom Brady is the GOAT for a reason. He dissects teams. I mean, I remember when Brady was up in New England and Dallas went up there with Romo and we left a minute 30 and we were up by 4. So we know they needed a touchdown. Please believe my man Brady went out there and scored a touchdown with no time left. So he's that great. So as much as I wish my Cowboys could pull an upset and upset the world, my boy Sadar's already talking about who wants to join me tomorrow, watch the Cowboys get anally beat tomorrow. So it's like, listen, we got the world already rooting against us. So if we take an L, we taking an L to Brady. It shouldn't be that hard on us. It sucks that we're going to start off 0-1. But, Jay, I'm already looking towards next week. So forget about my Cowboys versus Bucks. It's going to be a shit show for Dallas. I'm praying it's not. But I just feel like Tom Brady is the GOAT for a reason. So the Bucks will handle the Cowboys easily.
Yeah, you know, you say that you're looking forward to next week for the Dallas Cowboys. But, hey, next week you got the Chargers, and that's not an easy game for you guys either, I believe. I think the Chargers might win that one, but we'll discuss that game next week. But definitely when it comes to this game, I got to agree with you because I don't see a scenario where the Dallas Cowboys win this game, Sander. I really don't. I really do think that it's really wrong place, wrong time for this team because, honestly, they had no business in this game at all, Sander. You know, we're talking about a team that came in third place last year in the NFC East, 6-10 record, and all of a sudden, just because of the popularity, they're over here in the opening game of the NFL versus the reigning defending champs, the team who should be prohibitive favorites going into this year to win back-to-back Super Bowls with Tom Brady at the helm. And listen, did you know how we always used to say that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that week one, you always feel bad for whoever they play because they've had all offseason to go game plan against you specifically. So now you're going to have Tom with the best team that he's ever had. I think this might be the best time this team that he's had going into the year, especially with the weapons that they got. You got Antonio Brown now that's there that was received late alongside Gronk. You know, they've been there a year more in the system. So they'll be better. Tom Brady, like you mentioned earlier, year two, he's going to be better. So wrong place, wrong time for Dallas. They made the right move. They went and got out Micah Parsons out of Penn State, which I think will be a nice bolster for that defense. But he's still a very young player, Sander. He's not a game changer as of yet. I do think that he's going to be one of the players that's going to have a strong campaign for Rookie of the Year on the defensive side of the ball. But that's yet to be determined. But listen, I think I'm more optimistic than you. I got the Cowboys scoring more points than you do. But, yeah, Bucks are going to get it. They're going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, when you look at it across the field, both sides of the field on both teams, I mean, the Cowboys are just undermatched. As high-powered as that offense is, when you look at the offense to Tampa, you got Mike Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk. You got O.J. Howard coming back healthy. And then you got that two-headed monster at running back. I mean, other than other than Dak, Zeke, CeeDee, and Amari, it's really, I mean, maybe Gallup, maybe. But, I mean, the offensive line is not the same as before. It's not the offensive line of 2015, I'll tell you that. So, Jay, like you said, wrong place, wrong time. The Cowboys should have just
Let's keep it real, Sander. The Cowboys just got this game just because of the star. They ain't got no business. Honestly, the NFL could have done a lot better setting up a way better matchup against the Buccaneers than the Dallas Cowboys. It's really just based off popularity. Because, listen, how popping would a Buccaneers versus a Buffalo Bills game be for opening night? Josh Allen, Tom Brady, or maybe even throw Jameis. Like, yo, you're going to have to get through Tom Brady. Throw him into the mix. That's going to be a rivalry that's going to be going on throughout the whole season. I just think that it didn't really make sense to have Dallas as the marquee person because, like I said, what they did last year doesn't merit the position. But because of the brand, because of Jerry Jones, because of the star, eyes, because bro. Of what they represent, you know it's going to make numbers.
Yeah, man. I mean, even our worst season is sometimes still viewed more than some team's best season, which is crazy. So, I mean, I can't really knock the Cowboys. Like, it's not the Cowboys' fault that they're the most popular team in all of sports. I can't knock them for that. It's just, it's really on the NFL. You got to put it on them. You got to put it on the schedule makers. Those are the guys you got to look at weird, not the Dallas Cowboys, because they're going to play who's lined up in front of them scheduled to the day. So I feel like, you know, you got to turn that heat instead of on the Cowboys, turn it on the schedulers because they're the ones that made the schedule.
I mean, I think if anybody should deserve that, he is Jerry Jones because, you know, he's more excited about playing on prime time than he is either winning or losing the game because the eyeballs are going to be all on the Cowboys just how he likes it. And, hey, win or lose, Jerry's making his money in that scenario. So yeah. We'll see how that turns out. Nonetheless, 0-1 for the Cowboys. Like you already predict, Sander, I feel bad for you, son, but it is what it is. But listen, I do want to transition to the MLB because one of our personal favorites, obviously, I'm talking about Yankee great Derek Jeter getting inducted into the Hall of Fame today alongside, you know, other greats. And listen, look at that. The Jeter play, iconic, you know, and it's so great to see him finally get in. You know, he was one hater-ass vote away from being unanimously voted in alongside Mariano Rivera, his running teammate in crime, obviously, back in the Bronx during that 90s stretch where they were winning championships back and forth. But man, do I miss those days as a Yankee fan, Sander. We've been so deprived of it since 2009, and El Capitan was obviously there for that final run. But Sander, you know, El Capitan ranks pretty high among a lot of Yankee favorites, but where does he rank among yours?
Jay, I mean, I might be so facetious with this. I might be like everyone else with this, but I feel like he's my number one personal favorite Yankee of all time. It's just Jeter is that figure where I grew up watching, just like I grew up watching Kobe and LeBron. I grew up watching Jeter. I grew up watching one of the greatest figures of all time because, Jay, I might take a little bit of flack for this. He may not have been the greatest player in history, but he at figure wise, there's not a guy that can come almost close to him. I mean, on and off the field, 20 years, just an amazing career, 5 championships, 14-time All-Star, a .310 career batting average. And Jay, can we just talk about real quick the lineup of beautiful women that he's dated? I'm talking about Vanessa Milano. I'm talking about Jessica Alba, Mariah Carey,
Jordana Brewster, Scarlett Johansson.
Listen, Vita goddamn Guerrera. Okay, this man can make it.
I mean, Sander, Vita Guerrera, you know, she ain't no exclusive island, but you know.
Hey, chill, man. Hey, take it easy. But still, man, Jeter, Jeter ranks at least in my personal number one. I could just have so many moments. The running into the stands for a catch against the Red Sox. His 3,000th hit being a home run. His final game going 5-for-5 with the game-winning single to end his career. You know what I'm saying? He was the World Series MVP in year two. Look at that. Look at that play. I literally stood up like, oh, my God. Is it okay? Bye. Hey, what's going on?
Get the ambulam.
Yeah, get the ambulam. He needs some milk. But, like, still, Jay, so many beautiful moments from Jeter, and he ranks number one. You know, if I had a top five, I got Jeter one, Mariano two. Come on now, Mariano was just Mariano. Like, you just said it and forget it. If you were up a run in the ninth inning, you knew he was going to get you that win. Andy Pettit, Mr. World Series closer himself. I mean, I lost count how many World Series I saw him win and clinch for us, man. It was literally Andy Pettit to start it and Mariano to finish it, baby. Like, it was just beautiful. Mike Mussina, the Moose. I mean, let me tell you something about Mussina real quick. Mussina may not have won a World Series, but from 2001 to 2008, homie won 123 games. Okay, yeah. He was one of the better pitchers in the league, and in 2008, his last season, he was a 20 game winner. I wish he would have stayed that season after, because we ended up winning the World Series, and he possibly could have played a factor in it as well. Absolutely. But just Mussina was just one of my personal favorites as well. And number five, Jay, this guy was my favorite just based off the swing, based off the batting stance. Yes, yes, absolutely. All that shaking the bat, and the man still had one of the fastest swings recorded in MLB history. And when he swung and missed, you were scared shitless because you thought that bat was going to go flying. Like, when he would swing and miss, he would put so much torque into it that I would tell Lori, my stepdad, all the time, Diablo, pa, si él le pegaba la bola. If he would have made contact with that ball, it would have been out of here. He possibly could have hit 400 home runs. But no, man, my top five personal favorites go as is. But Jeter, Jay. Jeter just holds such a personal spot in my heart that will never go away. Like, there'll be teams with great players, and I might sound corny, but no team will ever have a Derek Jeter. I mean, Angels have Mike Trout, but guess what? Mike Trout may be great and all, but figure-wise, he doesn't hold a candle to Derek Jeter. You know
closest
what I'm saying?
Closest thing is like a Kobe Bryant.
Closest thing, and that's a man in a whole nother sport. You feel me? This is a man that stayed with his entire career with the Yankees. We watched him grow up as a young buck in 96, and from 96 all the way till when he retired, I believe it was what, 2011? 2014. We saw an amazing career, Jay. I feel like, you know, a lot of hate was going towards him towards the end of his career with the Yanks. A lot of people felt like he was just holding up a roster spot. Yankees just, you know, paying for what he's done instead of what he can do going forward. But still, when you got a legend like Jeter, you hold on to that. And you make sure he retires in the pinstripes. And now he's doing this thing as a part owner on the Marlins. Like, he's making moves. And he put it so beautifully to finish. Yes, the money is beautiful. He put it so beautifully to finish his conference yesterday. He said, Yankee fans, I still represent you. I'm still you. I may be working for the Marlins, but I'm still blood and blood pinstripes. And Jeter will forever hold a magic place in my heart. He's there in my Mount Rushmore of favorite players. I mean, you can't talk Yankees for the past 20 years without talking about Jeter. You can't mention World Series without mentioning Jeter. Even A-Rod, the well-respected, before he was a steroid taker, even A-Rod knew what it was. He came to New York and he said, no, I'll change position because I know that's Jeter's spot. Even though he was probably the better shortstop, he still took the back seat to the Capitan. You know what I'm saying? Like, my favorite moments as well was when the announcer of the Yankees, when he passed away, and Derek Jeter for the remainder of his career was still not going up to music, not going up to other noises. He still went up to that famous announcer, you know, and now to bat Derek Jeter. That was iconic, Jay. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, and I might sound crazy, and I don't care because I stir the pot. That's what I do, baby. But I just feel like there will never be another player like Derek Jeter. He may not be the most home runs. He may not have the most hits. He may not be the flashiest. But as far as building a franchise or having a face of the franchise, dude, I can't name another person other than Jeter that can represent a franchise as well as he did. Never been into any nonsense, never had any issues with the media. And he's played his whole career in New York, the media capital of the world, the city that will chew your ass up if you slack up. You know what I'm saying? So I just give it up to Jeter. The fact that he was one vote away from unanimous, that voter should be named, should be put on TV, and we should know his name. And
that was the some hating ass.
We need to know the reason. Like Cardi B, what is the reason? The reason that you didn't vote for this man? Because you have to have some good-ass reasons. You have to have a list of non-reasons. Like, it has to be down to the floor. Because if you come up with some BS, you deserve to get punched in the face, fired from your job, and never vote for Hall of Fame again. Because I have no reason. Like, I literally can't even think of one thing that would keep Derek Jeter from the Hall of Fame. I really can't. And I wish I could go off something to be like, maybe that thing. But literally, the dude had a rap sheet that could rival a three-year-old. He didn't get in trouble in a PED era. He never got accused of steroids, never took testosterone, never took PEDs to get better from an injury. The dude handled his shit like a captain is supposed to. So when you're looking at ideal figures to build your franchise around, ideal figures to be the face of your franchise, you really need to look at a guy like Derek Jeter and then look at the guy that you're trying to make the franchise guy. Because if they don't have those standards, then that's not the guy to lead your franchise. So I'm just so happy that I got to witness Jeter's career from beginning to end. It was beautiful, Jay. From that throw to when he cut off against the A's and got Giambi out, all the way to his last game when he won the game off a game-winning single. It's just pure poetry. Like, you can't really get any better than Derek Jeter's career. So I'm blessed to have seen one of the greatest figures in baseball history.
Yeah, I agree, Sandra. I definitely feel blessed to see the magnitude of a player like Derek Jeter, you know, who just displayed consistency in such a professional manner day in and day out for 20 years for who arguably say the biggest brand of baseball art, definitely when it comes to the New York Yankees, and to be able to do it in a market like New York that gives you all the options in the world for you to behave, you know, like a perfectly young man in that city. You got to definitely give him a lot of credit. But I definitely agree, Sander. This guy was just a perfect role model for what it was. He definitely does rank high in mine, but he does not rank number one in my list. I'm going to go from five, and I'm going to go down to one. He's early in his career, but he is a Yankee favorite, and I love the kid already, Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge made it very easy to love him early in his Yankee career, going out there, making a very strong he won the Rookie of the Year that year, and he also challenged for the MVP award against Jose Altuve, which I think, in hindsight, we all know who the MVP should have really been. You already know it should have been Judge, but that's another conversation for another day. Nonetheless, Judge has been a great Yankee so far in his early career, and it's easy to love him. He's my number five. I can't put Judge out of that right now. He's just that guy to me. Number four, Andy Pettit. You had him too. I remember that little stint when he went to Houston. And I was like, oh, I hate that he went to Houston. But then he came back and he was better than ever. And I'm glad that we got two restaurants with that guy, because he was one of those pitchers in that core four that I just loved, knowing that you just had the consistency for him. And just something about Andy Pettit, his presence on the actual mound, he just looks so fierce. He used to scare the ish out of batters in that mound, because this guy just knew how to get you out. And they couldn't do that championship run without Andy Pettit. Love that guy. Number three, the Warrior, Paul O'Neill. He was a phenomenal player, and he's an even better announcer now, because any Yankee game that you watch with Paul O'Neill on that broadcast, he's just amazing at what he does, and I'm glad that he's able to be sticking around to bless the Yes Network and the Yankee fans and the continuance as a fan of his, because he's just awesome at everything, and his swagger that he brought to this team in that 90s run was what I think they really needed, because I really felt like they needed, like, you know, his nickname was the Warrior, and I feel like that's exactly what he gave them. He gave them like this toughness, this loud guy that came from Cincinnati. He was a made man because he had already won.
He had won two championships
in Cincinnati. So he came there like, yo, I'm here. Like, I'm trying to win with you guys. Like, we got something good here. Let's make it happen. And boom, he won another four with them and ended up with five. So Paul O'Neill by himself, great player, and I think and also a great Yankee. Number two, El Capitan, you already said Derek Jeter. There's nothing that you said that I can't follow up, because you said it all so elegantly. It's just beautiful to love Derek Jeter and be blessed to follow him in his career. And listen, you mentioned the lineup of all the ladies, man. Being a star,
I just
athlete,
mentioned like four of them.
Yeah, it's like the dream life. And to be able to pull that off as well, got to tip your hat off to Derek Jeter for sure. And Mariano Rivera, number one, man. You know, seeing him right here in that photo, that last emotional stand, like, I remember being emotional myself, knowing that it was the last time that we were going
to
see him on the mound.
To go get him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yep. And, yeah, Mariano, you know, being the closer that he is, you know, he always had the pressure of the world on his shoulder come that last inning. And he has always looked cool as a cucumber. He just made it happen every time. I remember seeing the fun fact, like, less people have gone on base than more people have gone on the moon than Mariano Rivera. And I was like, how cool a fun fact is that? So, yeah. 5-1. Judgy, I love Aaron Judge. Andy Pettit, the Warrior, Paul O'Neill at 3. Derek Jeter and the Sandman, man. Mariano Rivera at 1.
I can't get mad at that list either. I will question a little bit of the Aaron Judge, but I get it. That's your personal homeboy. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he needs to do a little bit more to be in my top five. But I love me some Mariano. You know another fun fact about Mariano? Did you know that Mariano Rivera literally averaged one strikeout an inning? Like, he's a closer. So the man pitched 1,283 innings, and he has 1,173 strikeouts. So it was such a sure bet. It was such a sure bet with Mariano. I mean, 652 saves. Good luck for the next closer, especially the way MLB is going right now. Good luck to the next closer trying to reach that milestone. Because Mariano, listen, when I say Andy Pettit starting the game and Mariano's closing the game, and it's a series clincher, yeah, just pack your bags away, team. Or just pack your bags, because you're not going to win that game. Literally, watching that 2009 World Series, right? That was the year we had CC, Teixeira, and all that, and A-Rod, right? But when it was the game clincher against Philadelphia, and Andy Pettit was going to start, I was like, Dad, we got this. We got this World Series. And then Mariano closing it. It was just beautiful, Jay. Classic. Like, for real. I'm so glad. Yes, I may be a little pampered being a Yankee fan because of all the World Series. But, man, it just – you can't just not greatness. I love being a part of it. I love being a fan to it. So, actually, watch.
Jay. Look at them.
But still, man, it's just so beautiful watching that, especially the core four, Posada. We don't mention Posada as much, but Posada could easily be in anyone's favorite top five.
Bernie Williams too,
because yes, Bernie Williams as well. I mean, so many memorable catches out in the outfield, especially Bernie Williams coming from Puerto Rico. And I'll be real with you, I didn't know he was Puerto Rican until like 2 years before he retired. And then I saw something on the Yes Network, and he was like speaking in Spanish with the Puerto Rican flag. I'm like, he's Puerto Rican? I thought he was black the whole time. But no, hey, I love it, man. I love being a part of Jeter's career. It was beautiful to watch from start to finish. And, you know, Yankees, when you're a fan of teams like the Yankees, you'll never see a Jeter again. But please believe that there will be another one to be like him. Because the Yankees are that type of monumental franchise that attracts players from all over the country. Gerrit Cole's a California boy, rocking New York Yankee stuff. He was a fan since a little kid. So it's just that type of – the Yankees have that type of effect where the entire world is enamored with the franchise. So you never know, Jay. We might get the next Derek Jeter from Ecuador. or from some other weird country. But I just love it, Jay. I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy. Thank you, Derek Jeter, for everything you've done. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful speech. And just like you represent us, I'm going to do my best to make sure I represent you.
Yeah, definitely, Derek Jeter. Definitely a pleasure to have witnessed you play. And now just know that you're immortalized in Cupertino among the other MLB greats. Well-deserving. There's nothing that he falls short under for the requirements to be a Hall of Famer and beyond. So, again, congratulations, Derek Jeter. But, Sander, it's Wednesday, and I'm very excited for this because, you know, the NFL season is starting, which also means that fantasy football is starting.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this.
And most people, if you haven't already done your fantasy draft, you got, like, today to do it. So I'm going to let you know today what players you have to start. You got to start these guys on given game day. Sander, let them know the guys you got to start this week.
Well, straight up, Jay, I got a few guys. I got three guys. But let me tell you, these guys, you got to ride or die with them because these guys are going to get you the dub, all right? And if they don't get you the dub, don't come looking for me, all right?
Oh, they're going to come for you. They're going
to come looking because you're not going to find me. But number one, you have to start this man, okay? Derek King Henry, my man. JJ, you said something bold that he was going to be the first running back to go for 2,000 two straight years.
And guess what?
And guess what? And if he is, then you're going to want to start this man because he starts off against Arizona, and Arizona may have a revamped defense with Watt and, you know, Chandler on the ends, but there's not much in the inside. And I feel like Derrick Henry is going to take control and take advantage of the inside. So you have to start Derrick Henry. It's going to be week one, guys. So I'm looking for anywhere between 15 to 20 points. Just, you know, it's going to start off a little slow, but he's not going to do anything that's going to hurt you. So must start Derrick Henry because he could easily blow up. He could give you 20 plus with 2-3 touchdowns. So start Derrick Henry because you're not going to want to regret it. Number two, you know, Jake, I really wanted to say everybody on the damn team, but you made me pick one player. And I'm going to pick most skillful out of all of them. But, guys, if you got anybody on the skill position on the 49ers, start them, okay? Start them. Kittle, Debo, start them, okay? Anybody, Garoppolo, start them. They're playing the trash Lions, okay? And the Lions are set to be one of the worst teams in NFL history. There's professionals talking about this team can do another 0-16. And guess what? They added another game. So they'll probably be the first team to go 0-17 because there's nothing on the Lions. There's nothing on the Lions on defense and offense that makes you go, So, guys, if you got Kittle, definitely start him. I got Kittle. I'm starting him for sure. So, there's no way you could go wrong. If you got Debo, put him on. If you got Kittle, put him on. If you got Garoppolo, put him on because you're going to definitely get a good chunk of points. For my number three, I spoke about this man a few shows ago, and I said that this man is going to go on a rampage, and it starts on Sunday versus the Saints. That bad man, Aaron Rodgers, who I also happen to have in fantasy, but I'm not going to start him. But still, you guys need to start him, okay? Reason why you guys need to start him is because I said he's going to go on an MVP-type season, and it's going to start Sunday. He's going to torch New Orleans. I think him and Davante Adams are going to continue where they left off. I keep on saying this. That picture of the last dance just means that this man is going to go berserker. He's going to enter the ultra instinct mode. He's going to probably meet Brady in the NFC Championship game. And it starts on Sunday. So if you got Kittle, if you got Derrick Henry, or you got Rodgers, you better start them because they're going to get you the dub, no doubt about it. And if they don't, like I said, don't come for me because you ain't going to find me.
See, now, I got the courage of my convictions. You better start my guys or you're going to lose. It's that simple. You can come see me because I'm not going to guide you the wrong way. Sander might take a little chance or two, but I got you. I got you on my back. But, Sander, I do like your guys. All those guys I think are primed to make a big game. But definitely everybody be aware, it is week one, so you never really know what you got until you're like around like week six, week seven, and you're like, I know who's good, who's not good, who's still healthy, who's not. Nonetheless, I got your point, Xander. Great work. But listen, my guys, you got to start them, and I feel like I'm going to really not wow many people with this first one, but I'm going to go ahead and set it off. DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. Listen, DeAndre Hopkins got marked as the second best receiver by Pro Football Focus, and he got dethroned by Devontae Adams in Green Bay, which is fine. I like Devontae Adams a lot, too. I think that he might be the best receiver coming into the season. No disrespect intended. But I think that that puts a little chip on this guy's back. And he came out with the TikTok where he's like, I'm the best. I don't know what y'all talking about, but I'm the best. So I'm thinking, take DeAndre Hopkins in week one. He's going to be playing against the Tennessee Titans, who defensively doesn't really scare nobody. But you best believe that DeAndre Hopkins looks across the field and sees Julio Jones and sees A.J. Brown. And he looks at them. He's like, y'all 2 and 3 behind me because I'm better than both of y'all. So just know that I'm going to put up the biggest numbers. I'm the best receiver on the field. DeAndre Hopkins, week one, start him.
That's a good one.
Guy number two. Listen, I know there's a lot of guys in Tampa Bay, but you got to start Antonio Brown, especially against Sanders' sorry-ass Cowboys. That defense is going to be so sorry. And listen, when you're trying to cover Mike Evans and you're trying to cover Chris Godwin, you're going to leave the guy who's, in my eyes, the best of the three and the softest coverage. And I feel like Antonio Brown and Tom Brady are going to get fat off this really lackadaisical Dallas Cowboy defense, Sander. And this, you know, listen, when AB is on, it's on. And now he's in year two with Tom. He had the knee surgery. It's clean. And I think that Antonio Brown is going to be the receiver in the trio of the receivers that's going to have the best game against your Cowboys tomorrow night. Book it. I'm telling you, start Antonio Brown or you're going to regret it. And if I get that wrong, come see me. I'm telling you, AB is going to blow up. Believe me. You guys can't see Sanders' face right now. Here, I'm going to show it. My man is stressed right now. He's like, oh, my God, Chris Godwin, AB and Godwin. Ah,
Mike Evans.
Stay with me. Stay with me. And the third guy that you got to start this week, listen, I put a lot of stock in this guy, so I got to back it up, Sanders. I love Kyle Pitts, selected number four overall out of Miami, and I picked them up in almost every draft. So I got to back it up. Listen, the premium at the tight end, you know it's top heavy as hell. It's Travis Kelce. You got Kittle. You got Mark Andrews. You got Darren Waller. But then after that, it's a free-for-all. You really don't know who's really out there at depth. And I think that this kid, Kyle Pitts, is going to be the exception. I think that he's a week one starter. You got to stop him. He's a TE1 in my eyes. He's really a wide receiver that masses as a tight end. And the only reason why he's a tight end is because the kid is 6'6 and runs a 4'4 standard. This guy is a freak at the tight end. And I feel like he's really going to revolutionize the tight end position, kind of the way that Travis Kelce did, where just really you got them out there playing receiver. And Kyle Pitts is just that guy. And I think that he has a serviceable enough quarterback in Matt Ryan that can really put the spot where he needs it to be, at least early in his career. I think that they'll be a good combination. You also got Calvin Ridley in the outside that you also got to cover. So coverage will be in a manageable scenario for Kyle Pitts, but I've got a lot of stock in him, so I got to put it out there and live with my convictions. So Kyle Pitts, TE1 for the dub. I think he's going to give you 20-plus points this opening week, and I think he's going to put the league on notice because who's he playing? Philly. I think Philly's going to be the garbage can of the whole NFL this year. So I think he's going to have a big coming out party in the NFL. So you got to start D-Hop. You got to start Antonio Brown against your sorry-ass Cowboys and the rookie phenom, Kyle Pitts. But you got to start him this week.
I love those three, Jay. And Kyle Pitts is the most dangerous tight end coming out of Miami, coming out of Florida since Hernandez. So, listen – I mean, that's a big risk.
Jose says Julio Jones will have a better game than both AB and Hopkins. False. I think D-Hop and AB will both outperform Julio Jones because I think Derrick Henry and AJ Brown will get the share of the majority of the offense early in the season. So if you want Skittles on that, let me know, Jose.
As crazy as I might sound, Jay, and I say this a lot, okay, because I sound crazy when I say things, I think Julio Jones is the third option on that team. I think Henry is first because the whole offense runs through Henry. They set up the play action with Brown, and Julio Jones is just that third option, which is still a great option, because if Julio Jones is your third option, you are in a good place. You are in a really good place.
That's like, so, oh, Clay Thompson's your third option? Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. So it's like, yeah. I mean, I get why Jose may think that, because him being the third option, the older guy, maybe like he might be a little bit disrespected because the teams have to worry about Henry and Brown. So I could see where Julio may have a breakout game as well. But I still think, you know, Hopkins is going to get his, because he's the best. He's probably the best player on the field on both teams. So I think he's going to get his. But, Jay, 20-plus points from Kyle Pitts? I'll put Skittles on that, baby. I'll put Skittles on that. I think he'll finish with, like, 15. I don't think 20-plus. Hey, that's Skittles. What's the best Skittles on it?
All right.
I love that.
17-plus for Skittles. You said 15. I said 20. 17.
Okay. I'll do that. Boom. I will do that. I will do that. You see that, ladies and gentlemen? That's called progress right there.
Nonetheless, and I'm very excited. You know, we're going to be doing the guys you got to start every week moving forward. Yes. Now that the NFL season is among us, we love fantasy football along many other NFL fans. So best believe we're going to be talking about it here for all the fans. So, hey, get your daily dose of fantasy football with us. Every Wednesday we'll be doing it to make sure we give you guys the best advice every week, to our knowledge, and hopefully we don't screw your lineup, but we're going to try our best. But yeah, Sander, very excited, especially for tomorrow's game. Especially, you know, get AB. He's going to get you a nice early head start to your week. AB's going to, like I said, AB's kind of like a flex guy, I feel, for a lot of people in fantasy this year, but I think he's going to have the best game tomorrow.
I mean, AB, how quickly people forget. I mean, it was just not that long ago when AB was tearing shit up in Pittsburgh. I mean, granted, he might be a few years removed from that, but he hasn't taken so much punishment. He hasn't been out there and we're like, damn, that's not the same AB. If anything, we haven't seen enough from AB to determine whether it's the same AB or a deteriorated AB. Because last time I saw AB, he was out there catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I still think AB is kind of being disrespected because he's not being talked about, but he could easily finish as a top five receiver because he's that talented. So,
yeah, I mean, knock on wood, God forbid any injury, but let Mike Evans or Chris Godwin miss a few games and he becomes the de facto number two. You got something going on if you're AB, but nonetheless, Sander, NFL season is back and I'm very excited. We're Start of the Pod Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Start of the Pod Sports. Also, check us out on Twitter at Pod Sports and on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out all of our content at clovercrestmedia.com/Start of the Pod Sports. And check us out on audio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. And Start of the Pod Sports be right there. Yeah. Guess I lost Sander there in the last minute, but it's okay. I'm still very excited, even by myself, to get back to the NFL tomorrow. I can't wait to see his sorry Cowboys get beat by Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers, because you know they're going to come out tough and they're going to at least put up 40 points. But we'll see. I'm JJ Vargas. Our brother Sander Sanchez out of commission, but he'll be back on Friday. We'll catch you on Friday.
If you own a business, you know how difficult it can be to get new clients. But what if you had your own sales team? B&I Somerset invites you to join us on Thursday, September 23rd to learn about how B&I Somerset provides a positive, supportive, and structured environment for the development and exchange of quality business referrals. Struggling to find more paying clients or want to take your business to the next level? Our group of business owners have passed hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business to one another. Want to know how we did it? On Thursday, September 23rd at 8 a.m., we're hosting an event on Zoom where we show you exactly how B&I Somerset generated client after client for one another and how you could begin to apply the same simple steps to your business too. The reality is, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. B&I Somerset is incredible for building your personal brand and ensuring you are known. Join Somerset B&I's Visitor Day on Thursday, September 23rd at 8 a.m. via Zoom. All are welcome. For more info, visit bniwne.com/ct-northern-somerset-bni. Businesses thrive by changing when the world changes, and the world is changing. BNI Somerset can make sure you don't get left behind. It's been a pretty wet summer in Connecticut, and that means more mosquitoes than ever. If you didn't have your home service for mosquito control and find you're spending most of your time outside swatting those little pests, you are in luck. Mosquito Shield of Central Connecticut provides the best value in mosquito control services because of how they treat your yard using the Mosquito Shield tailored treatment system. They don't use a fixed schedule or an identical product one-size-fits-all service program because you can't control mosquitoes on a set number of sprays or visits. Unlike the competition, Mosquito Shield of Central Connecticut will service you for this season whatever it takes to provide superior results. This promise has awarded them an industry-leading consumer retention rating of 90%. Visit MosquitoShieldCT.com to schedule an appointment with Wade DeCesare and enjoy the rest of your summer mosquito-free.